Now, let us pray as we head towards what Jesus said in the passage we've just read. Father, thank you for this special occasion to gather with your people, our once a week community of family, sitting together under your word, seeing the great truths of the Bible together, enjoying one another's company and fellowship, building each other up. May we know you better. May we be convicted of our sin more. May we know your grace and forgiveness as we look into these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I grew up with three sisters, an older sister, a twin sister, and a younger sister, and we had many quarrels and fights growing up, most of them in the back seat of the car, and many disputes about what each other said and the truth in the words that we used. In fact, my older sister once convinced my twin sister and I to eat worms, and she had a very compelling argument that it would be good for us. It was not. She then went on to try and convince us to drink our own urine, which we did not. She had lost her truthfulness, trustworthiness, and we did not do that. But of course, when it came to our interactions with each other, it became increasingly hard to know whether we were telling the truth to each other or not. And so various words and phrases entered our vocabulary, like, cross my heart, hope to die. And so you knew that if someone had said, cross your heart, hope to die, what they said was actually true. They actually meant it. Except if they had their fingers crossed behind their back. And then you can say whatever you want because you didn't actually mean it and you weren't bound by those words. As we got older, we developed other ways of communication. We started making promises to each other, like a swearing that we'd done this or hadn't done that or said that, or I promise if you eat those worms, you will get $5. And we've become very sophisticated in trying to convince each other of certain truths. Of course, it seemed that if you add the word promise or oath, the words just carried a bit more weight if they didn't. Now, we're going to be looking today at some words that Jesus said. And that's what we're doing this whole term. Last semester, we were in the book of Romans. We were looking at big passages of Scripture, trying to work out, you know, what Paul said, what does it mean, how do we live this out. This term, we're going very brief. Words that Jesus said. Short sayings of Jesus. Words that you can live your life on. And I'd love it over this 11-week series if we could actually all memorize the words that have been said. So last week, I believe it was Mark 10:44, which says, whoever wants to be must be slave of all. So well done. You're only 1 week behind if you haven't got that one in your head yet. So now is the time to start, not at the end. Today, Matthew 5:37. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. They're the words that we're going to be spending our time thinking about tonight, and the words that I'd like you to dwell on during the week. So what we're talking about is our words, the truthfulness and the trustworthiness of the things that we say. Essentially, we've been asked, are you a person of your word? Do you do what you say you will do? Do you keep your promises? And of course, there's so much we can dive into as we think about this. Our commitments that we make, the things that we say to one another. This is a daily practical thing to live your lives on. So let's head into the passage. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Well, why would they need to have a verse like that? Why would Jesus need to say such a teaching? Well, of course, from your experience and my experience in this world, people aren't always truthful. And people don't always keep their word to us. And you've become very convinced of that, I'm sure. Every time you book accommodation and you see the wonderful pictures on the B&B that you're planning to book, you first read the reviews because you don't instinctively trust that the place you turn up to will look like those pictures. when you come to a new town. You ask friends, who's worth seeing as a mechanic, as a doctor, as a dentist, all those sorts of things, because we're just not sure whether we can trust the people that we go to. We can't just trust the website or the yellow pages. The fact is, our world is broken. It's an incredibly sad reality, isn't it? And ever since our childhood, where we just took everything on face value and we believed everyone, we've realised that we just can't do that. We've been burnt too many times. We've been let down too many times, so we have our guards up. Of course, that's a sad reality, isn't it? That's a sad reality. And no wonder Jesus, the Son of God, had to come from heaven to earth to die on a cross for sinners, to save people like you and me. Because it's not just people out there who have trouble with this, it's people in here. It's us who struggle with this, keeping our word, keeping our promises, saying what is true. Well, what's the solution? How do we actually get on living in a world where we can't quite trust everyone's word and what they're going to say? Well, in the Old Testament, the solution was to make oaths and promises. Oaths and promises. A bit like my childhood, that if you said the right words, made the right promise in the right way, then somehow the words that you said are more legitimate and more true and more accurate, and they could be trusted. And so we end up with this really complex matter that the religious leaders actually wrote books and chapters of books on this, how to actually say things in the right order, in the right way, so that what you said to somebody actually meant something. And if you didn't say it right, well, it didn't matter. You weren't bound by your words. Let me give you an example. Later on in Matthew 23, Jesus says this to the religious leaders. And just see how confusing it was, the world that he was born into. He said, "Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, they are bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift on the altar that makes the gift sacred, or the one? Therefore, if you swear by the altar, you swear by everything on it." And so Jesus comes into that world of confusion. How can you trust somebody? What are the right words you need to say before you say something to make sure that those words are accurate? And so Jesus stands up on the side of a mountain. A large crowd gather, thousands of people, and he gives a sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And it's recorded in our Bibles in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And here King Jesus talks to his people, and he tells them what life in his kingdom should look like. How do you live as a follower of Jesus? How do you follow him? And he covers a whole bunch of topics as he goes through that. And you immediately realize that the conditions for following Jesus are very, very high. A follower of Jesus, the way they live is very high indeed. We just had it read to us, but verse 20 from chapter 5 says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And as we read our way through these chapters on all sorts of topics, we realize we fall short on every single one of them. And we realize, actually, if obeying every one of these rules is the conditions for making it to heaven, then we're doomed. But praise God, we realize that the preacher is the one who will also die on a cross for sinners. It's only way to enter the kingdom of God. But for those who have been saved, he's given his word. This is what it looks like to be a follower of God. This is the standard. This is the way you should seek to live. Be holy as I am holy. And so in terms of our words and being truthful and following through with our commitments, Jesus in that sermon says some things. Let me read it to you again. He tries to make it very simple. Verse 33, chapter 5. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So Jesus kind of says, well, this is what's going on in the Old Testament. Essentially, if you've made an oath, you should keep it. That's the summary of the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple of examples. Deuteronomy 23, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you'll be guilty of sin. Or Numbers 30, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or makes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he has said. Clearly, Jesus expects people to keep his word. God expects people to keep his words. The people of the Old Testament thought the secret to getting people to keep their words and tell the truth was to bring God into their promises. If you swear by God, the God of heaven, then surely what you say is true. So there's no cross your head, your heart, hope to die. It's, if I promise, I swear by the God in heaven who made the heavens and the earth, who one day I'll stand before as judge, that what I'm saying is true, then you could guarantee it is true. Jesus, on the other hand, says to us now, he says, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Don't swear an oath at all. Everything that you say is said before God. God hears every word that you say. You want to bring God into the equation, you don't need to make a promise by the heavens or by the earth or by the temple or even your head, it says, because God is involved in every single thing you say. No need to say, I promise. No need to say, I swear. Just simply say yes or no. Anything else comes from the evil one. Yes or no. No secret formulas, no fingers crossed. Just be true to your word. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything else comes from the evil one. I hope if I say it enough times, I'll remember it and you'll remember it. So keep going. Anything else comes from the evil one beyond that? What are we to take for that? Well, of course, it doesn't take long to think about the fact that God is true. God is faithful to his promises. There is nothing that God says that he does not mean or that he does not do. There's no promise that he does not deliver on. But of course, his enemy, the devil, Satan, is a liar, a deceiver. His ways are not true. So if you like, there's two ways to live. There's two ways to talk. There's two ways to say things to one another. The way of God, which is true and faithful and right, or the way of the evil one. Deception, lies, not truth. Interestingly, these words that we're reading from Jesus are only included in the Gospels by Matthew. None of the other Gospel writers put them in, but Jesus' own brother James records pretty much the same verse in James 5:12, where he says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is simply yes or no, otherwise you'll be condemned. Now, of course, many of the translations interpret this to say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Your yes be yes and your no be no. Well, let's have a think now about the implications of these words that Jesus said. That all your words you should say should be true and reliable and accurate. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let's think about how to live that out, or are we living that out in our life? But before we do that, let's just consider what's at stake here. What's at stake if we're not true to our word? If we don't do what we say we'll do? Well, of course, the first thing that's at stake is our own reputation, isn't it? Our own reputation to be unreliable versus reliable, truthful versus untruthful. The second thing that's at stake, of course, is our God who we follow. The name of Jesus is at stake. And of course, also the community that we're part of, our family, the people we hang out with, the people we work with, and including our church. The way that we keep or don't keep our word is actually very significant and has follow on to it. I remember a pastor saying to me only in the last couple of years, they said, we had this people from the community come to see him and said, this guy that's in your church, I don't know if you know this or not, but out there in the business community, he has a terrible reputation. He always lets people down. He never does what he says he will do. I don't know if you know that, but he goes to your church and he's in leadership in your church. May that never be true of us. So there's lots at stake. All we need to do is simply say yes or no. Anything else comes from the evil one. It's from Matthew 5:37. Now, a few weeks ago, I had to go down to the Albany courthouse and I had to sign an affidavit. And they asked me, do you want to swear or confirm? Swear or affirm, sorry, what I was saying. And I said, what's the difference? I don't understand what you're asking from me. They said, well, if you swear, you're swearing before Almighty God that what you're saying on this piece of paper is true. If you affirm it, then you're just affirming that what you're saying and signing to is true. I said, that's fine, I can swear by Almighty God. But then we read this verse that Jesus says, don't make an oath at all. Don't make an oath at all. Is it okay in a law court to put your hand on the Bible or to swear by God that what you're going to say is the truth and nothing but the truth? Well, it seems in this case of the law that's probably okay. It's also a great example of why we realize we can't trust each other's words, because when you go to court, you have to do that because you can't expect people to tell the truth unless they swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Interestingly, one of the reasons we can say that is probably okay in court to do that and what's required of the law is because Jesus himself, in Matthew 26, verses 63 and 64, is put under oath by Pilate. And he says nothing against that. He doesn't say, I won't speak under oath. He does indeed. But again, we see this need just to say yes or no. So let's think about a whole lot of practical examples in our life where our yes must be yes and our no must be no. And let's start with marriage. When you get married, you stand with your about to be husband or wife and you say the words, I do. And the pastor or celebrant will say that we're going to make a solemn promise together, and you confirm by your word and then by a ring and then by a signing that you will do everything to keep your promise in sickness and health, riches or poor, until death do you part. And that's the promise you make, the promise you make together. And it's why marriages stay together, because people keep that promise to one another. Now, that seems quite straightforward. But when I think about my own marriage, I'm in the main keeping those promises. Death hasn't parted us yet. We're still together. That's great. But then I say to my wife, I'll be home at 12 o'clock. I get home at 1 o'clock and say, sorry, the phone rang. Someone came in, didn't expect this. And she says, oh, actually, when you say 12 o'clock, I know you won't be home at 12 o'clock. You'll always be home later. And I think, ouch, ouch, you know, what's my word worth? Am I true to the things I say to my wife? Do I do what I say I'm going to do? Will I be home at that time? Will I put the bins out? Will I clean like I said I would? Et cetera, et cetera. Well, let's move it from something that's hard to something that's harder. Let's think about parenting. Let's think about all the promises, parents, you make to your kids, me included. If you eat your vegetables, you can have ice cream. On the weekend, we'll go to the beach. When you turn 5, you'll get a bike. When I count to 3, you will go to the naughty spot. If you do that one more time, I'm turning the TV off. no more TV today. We're going home from church in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. You know the drill. You know the drill with parenting. You know how hard it is to be consistent with keeping what you say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Does it matter? Yes, it does. Our kids need to trust what we say to them, that our yes is yes and our no may be no. And when we say no in the supermarket, the confectionery line, we actually mean no each time. Then we think about all of our commitments, the commitments that we make to all sorts of things. When we join a sporting team, when we join a church, when we join a roster or a serving team at the church, when we say to someone, I'll come to your place on Sunday night, or let's catch up for coffee on Tuesday at 11 at Solomon's or the Well, or I'm going to be at the podiatry appointment that I've made at 11 o'clock next Wednesday, and on it goes, or this job that you've given me to do, I'll have it back to you by 5 o'clock on Friday. You see, all the time we're making commitments, aren't we? We're saying to things, people, I'll keep my word here. And of course, there's a reason that the doctor and the mechanic and everyone else texts you the day of your appointment and the day before your appointment, because they know that people aren't very good at keeping their commitments that they've made. Now, you've been disappointed many times by people who haven't kept your word. And my guess is that you and me have let many people down in times that we haven't kept our word as well. How are we going with that? My guess is, and my observation actually, is that in the last 2 years since COVID began, the whole of society's got worse at this. Like, we've kind of like had a quick release valve that allowed us to exit everything at once, and now it's become very easy for people to just exit their commitments that they've made because COVID happened in the last couple of years. We've also got other agreements that we've made with our employer, that we'll come to work at a certain time, we'll work a certain number of hours, that we'll wear a certain type of clothes, that we'll do a certain number of hours of PD, that we'll get the medical certificate or whatever it is that we need to do. All we need to do is simply say yes or no. Anything else beyond that comes from the evil one. Now, as I think about myself and the one that I've let down the most in terms of my promises, I'd have to say it's God, actually, that I've let down the most. How many times have I said to God, I won't do that again? Or I'll do this, God, every morning, every day. And I don't. And I don't. Because as we think about God and his faithfulness and his truth, we realise that we fall far short of that. Well, it's a big topic, isn't it? It's an important topic, and I want you to think about it in your own life during the week. And there's two things I want to kind of bring up just before we finish. The first is, so often the reason we don't keep our commitments is because we say, oh, sorry, I forgot we'd booked that in for Tuesday. We need to find a way that I'm sorry I forgot is not actually part of our vocab. And I reckon up until the age I was 20, I could keep everything in my head at one time, and since then, no chance. So if you don't have a diary or a phone or a notebook or some way of keeping your commitments to your words that you've made so that you remember, then you need to find that. Secondly, I think we probably all need to take more care about what we say yes and what we say no to. We don't actually have to rush into saying yes or no. You want me to do this new thing once a week, every week? Well, I'm going to go away. I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk about it with my family. And then I'll say yes or no. And if I say yes, I'll mean it and I will do it. But let's not push things to the other extreme in terms of FOMO, waiting for another offer, so that someone waits, gives us an opportunity, asks us a question, and we never actually ever get back to them because we're just not sure which way to go, yes or no. So here we are. We've read the verse. We've heard what Jesus has said. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything else comes from the evil one. We're about to sing a song called Promises, which will take our eyes from our own sin and our own shortcomings to a majestic God who always does what he says he will do and can be fully trusted in every occasion. And he will wow us. His word is true. And his grace is great. And he forgives us of our sin. And so I'm going to give you a moment now before him to confess where you fall short on your yeses and your noes, and to ask God for his help. And then I'll pray.